Thank you for listening to the Message Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We're here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference. This December, we're making a difference through the Big Give. Find more information at everynationnyc.org/biggive or on our Instagram at everynationnyc. Enjoy the message.
Good evening, and welcome again to our Every Nation night service. As the service was starting, I was just getting more and more pumped. It's easy, like, in a large crowd of people to think, like, all right, man, it would have been great if so-and-so heard this word. Man, has anybody else listened to a sermon and thought, man, if only so-and-so heard that, that would change their life, when really God was wanting to speak to you? With this small of a crowd, I know, man, God is wanting to speak to each and every one of us in this room. It's not just about what's going on outside or who's not here. It's really about who is here that God really wants to speak with and meet with. I think about the three disciples who came up and saw Jesus transfigured, saw him in all his glory with Elijah and Moses. That wasn't something that he showed just to everybody. He showed that just to very specific people. And I do believe that God is wanting to do something just incredible tonight. For those who don't know me, my name's Kenny. I'm one of the servants and leaders here at our night service. And Pastor Nathan, coming back from vacation, was like, I'm getting in the day before Sunday. I don't want to speak. So so he gave me the privilege and honor of, you know. Most honest. It's actually because he really believes in me and he loves hearing me speak. So it's kind of like all of the above. It's a mixed thing, as is everything. But I'm going to pray, get into it, and we'll see what the Lord has for us. Dad, we come to you just in awe and humility, and we ask for you to speak, God. I ask that I would decrease, that you may increase, that you would have your way, God, not about my words, but about yours. God, I ask that you would open our hearts to receive. Change us, God. Open our ears that we would hear. God, that we would be able to hear and take in, that it wouldn't just be something that hits a hard heart and bounces off or is taken, but something that really comes in, God. Because I know that you want to speak to us tonight. Thank you, and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as we've mentioned, we are in one of our longest series ever on Luke, and I get to kick off kind of a micro-series within that called Great Faith. As you saw in the announcements, we're doing a start-of-the-year fast on Great Faith. These are little devotional booklets that you can see out in the lobby. Please pick one up. Even if you decide not to fast with us, it's an incredible devotional guide that really just helps center you and just really like, all right, how are we going to start our year? You know. And so this is just the next 3 weeks. We're not going to be fasting this week. It's going to be the next week that we'll be fasting. I think the dates are up there. Yep, boom, 7th to the 11th. But again, it's odd. Nathan and I were talking about it. I'm kind of becoming the poster child for fasting in our church. And I'm not sure if it's because I enjoy fasting or if there's just more junk in me that God wants to get out. Either way, I just want to be obedient. So Nathan's like, it was that one. It was the latter. It's probably both. But it really is about the heart of just being obedient. Today we're going to be in Luke 12, and like this mini-series is really just going in on prayer, on like growing our faith. Faith comes through hearing and hearing through the Word of God, and so it's incredible how just honestly reading the Scripture is such a powerful thing in transforming and building faith. It's hard to know what God is going to do unless you actually hear what God is going to do. So familiarizing yourself with the Bible, with the Word, that's why we're always like, get in your Bible, because it truly changes and transforms us. Luke 12 is all one moment that goes through, and we're going to look at just a little bit of it. It's actually kind of one teaching moment that Jesus goes into the beginning of chapter 13 as well. It starts off the setting is, think Times Square on New Year's Eve. There's just thousands of people around Jesus. And then he's just with his 12, talking, kind of having these little aside moments talking with them. And then, like, there's actually a moment where we're going to pick up is somebody just yells at Jesus. It's like, hey, yo, Jesus, tell so-and-so to do something. And then Jesus just kind of takes that and turns it into a teaching moment on exactly what he was talking about and just goes in further. So we're going to pick up here where Jesus interrupted on verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops?' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And then, like, kind of having that aside, he addresses him, and then he just turns to his disciples, and he says, and to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you cannot, you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." God, may we receive your word. So just kind of kicking off, if there's two things that you'd really take away from tonight, maybe one, that our perspectives lead our investments. The way we view things leads where we invest. And two is that you are always investing in something. That you are always investing in something. Going through perspective. Originally, I was going to do this backwards, but the more I was thinking about it, I was like, no, God, just he did it in this order for a reason, because our perspectives really shape our faith. The way we view God changes the way that we interact with people, the way that we interact with God, and honestly, even the way we interact with ourselves. First, Jesus hammers this several times in this passage. Life is more than. He's talking, when the guy interrupts him, says, like, "Hey, tell my brother to split the inheritance with me." We honestly don't know if this man was being wronged, and he was really looking for justice. And he was like, "Yo, my brother owes me some. He's holding something back." And or we don't know if he was just a greedy guy who was like, "Hey, Jesus, he got more than me. Tell him to split it up with me." We don't know. Jesus just addresses the heart and like, look, life is more than what you have. Life does not consist in the abundance of what you have, your abundance of possessions. And then he hammers it again right away when he talks to the disciples. He's like, "Guys, don't be anxious about your life, because life is more than what, like, your body is more than what you put in it or what you put on it." I think. And this perspective shift is so key, because if we have, there's something in us, just in every man, that longs for eternity. And I think of this where there's two times in my life where I regret not slapping somebody. And they happened in the same conversation. It was my sister's ex-boyfriend. He's sitting there, we're talking, and I mean, he's a kid. I can't beat him on too much, but it's still like, you're dating my sister. He's sitting there. He was a very staunch atheist. And so we had plenty of fun conversations, but he was going through and he's like, I was just like, no, there's only the material. Only the material exists. And I just sat there. I'm like, all right, well, show me love. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I believe in love. Regret number one. I was like, then what are you doing dating my sister? Thing. And then I was like, all right, calm. All right, so are you saying that, you know, I think, therefore I am, the only thing that I know exists is me, maybe all like this brain in a vat? Like, philosophy gets weird, okay? Sitting there, and he's like, oh, I actually don't know if I'd go that far. I don't know if I exist. Regret number two. Because if you don't exist, then it doesn't matter if I slap you or not. Thing. But this idea where we intuitively know there is something more than what we see. There's something more than our body, than success, than, honestly, our appearance, what we look, what we eat. We're talking about fasting. It's like, body is more than this. Jesus is like, you have to get this in your head, that it's not just a physical thing. Going even further than that, the idea of an eternal perspective versus a temporal perspective. Like, I remember somebody was trying to explain eternity to me, and they're like, imagine a sparrow takes a single grain of sand from the ocean to the moon, and he takes just one grain of sand at a time. By the time he takes the time he takes every beach in the world to the moon, you'll have the first day of eternity. And we get caught up in 80 years, 90 years. It's where Jesus' first parable, or like the parable that he tells here to the guy who interrupts, he's like, God, it's not about what you can have. This rich man received more in one harvest than he could possibly house, than he knew what to do with. Equivalent of this is like, all right, you won the lottery, you set it up, and now you just live off the interest for the rest of your life. You're set. And this longing for security comes in. But if you don't have an eternal perspective of realizing where your life will continue when your body doesn't, and thinking that it's like, does anybody remember the movie Troy? Totally random aside, but there's this moment of Achilles is fighting like Prince Hector at the very beginning when they're at the beach, and Achilles is like, hey, no, it's too early in the war to start killing princes. And Hector is like, who cares about this war? You're just making this big thing of it. He's like, in 1,000 years, the dust of our bones will be gone. This idea of life is going to continue way past us. Because again, like, what are we setting into? What are we investing to? And this perspective having to go through. And it's honestly even this idea of anxiety. You look into the Greek of anxiety. One of the key concepts is a division, where anxiety at its root is because you are divided on something. And you think about this, where it's like, all right, I'm like our eternal perspective, where I'm like, all right, this is going on. I should be secure on this. I've already turned in that assignment. I don't know, did anybody do that in school? You turn in a paper and then you get super anxious about what the grade's going to be. It's like, there's nothing you can do about it. It's already there. But there's something in you warring that's saying, oh no, there's something I can do, because you're focused on a temporal thing instead of thinking like, okay, God, you've got this. And that is why the idea of Jesus hitting so much on our perspective is important. Going through like the next thing from that where God ends up hammering in is that he cares for you. If you don't understand that, it's really hard to trust God. But God cares for you. He goes through with all of these how much more statements. Kind of like reading this with Burrs and going through, I redid it in a New York way. just thinking of, who's New York Pigeons? All right. I look at any New York Pigeon, I just think, like, man, that guy has been through stuff. And yet, okay, they don't have a 401k, they don't have a job. God provides for every New York Pigeon. How much more do you think he's going to provide for you? It's going through, and it's like, all right, if God is able to take care of this small thing, how much more would he do for us? Thinking of, like Jesus said, how much of you by being anxious can add a single hour to your life? Going through, how many of us by worrying or thinking about it really, really hard can add an hour to the deadline that we have at our job? Oh, man, if I worry about this a lot, man, that'll just give me more time. If we can't even do that, then why are we worried about everything else? Going through, I grew up a lot in North Carolina where we have four seasons. Here we have four seasons, but fall, it's like 3 days. Was anybody here for the fall in New York? All right, like, I was gone that day. This idea of, Jesus uses this picture of the lilies of the field. Or I'm thinking of actually the fall, the transitioning of the leaves. It's like you walk through like Central Park when all of these leaves are changing. It is beautiful. They don't sew. They can't draw any designs on this. But yet God paints an amazing picture with them. And it's gone in 3 days. If God can do that with something so simple, how much more do you think he wants to clothe you? He arrays himself, this is complete aside, but he arrays himself in living color. It says that he wraps himself in a robe of color. I want that type of designer. All right? Jesus ends up saying, like, look, don't chase after these things. God knows that you need them. All of the nations go after this. Seek the kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Look at that. What does that look like? Honestly, like, Kristen and Daniel were joking about it. Most of the clothes that I own have been gifted to me, partially because I am not, like, super fashion-minded, but because I have people who it's like, you know, hey, God put you on my heart. I just want to give you this. Or I just want to give you this gift card. Got shoes, kind of like, or it's samples of clothes that I'm like, it's funny, as I was living in North Carolina, people gave me clothes that fit very appropriately to North Carolina, very casual dress where I can get them dirty, this and that. But then as I moved to New York, people just naturally gave me clothes that fit more of the New York style. But the thing is where I'm like, I'm not seeking after this. My heart is to be in a spot where I can minister to people and not have what I wear be a hindrance to people as I minister the gospel. And because that's my heart and that's what I pursue, God actually gives me that very naturally. I know if you've ever heard Pastor Ron tell any message any Sunday, he usually will tell a story of how God just gave him something random. It's absurd, actually, and it's a little not fair in my mind. But he goes out and he's like, I'm going to do this. Like, God's asked me to do this, and it's a simple step of obedience. I'm going to seek the kingdom. For me, one time what that looked like was one summer I live on partnership, so it's like I get to share what I do and just challenge people to invest financially in what I do, being able to minister the word and serve our city, and I love that, being able to invite people into that. But one summer as I was starting, I was just like, okay, God, like, summer's coming, I'm going to have time to do this. How do you want me to do this? He's like, I want you to have a prayer call every day with your friend. I can do that. All right, I want you to aim to try and get, like, $2,000 a month. I was like, I could do that. Okay, I want you to go to California. It's like, okay, I could do that. I know people there. I was like, okay, I could do that. And I want you to start by giving away everything in your bank account. One of those doesn't fit. And yet, I was like, okay, I confirmed. I got some people to pray with me on that. I was like, okay, does this sound like God? And he's like, all my friends were like, man, that just sounds like the Lord. Fine. So I did. I went through. God had put three missionaries on my mind and on my heart, and I ended up giving to them. Granted, I had $400 in my bank account, but all you have is all you have. Whether it's $400 or $4 million, all you have is all you have. And so I was like, God, I really do. I just want to be obedient. This isn't some, like, cool thing. I am giving this out of, I have no clue what you're going to do. This is my 5 loaves and 2 fish. God, I don't have anything else, but you are asking for this, so I want to give it. I don't even know how I'm going to get to California. But I want to take a step of obedience and seek the kingdom. And seek the Lord. Not his hand, but his face. I'm not seeking after a plane ticket to get to California. I am seeking just the Lord and his kingdom. And so I emptied my bank account to these guys. I saw my partners in North Carolina and, like, my financial investors, and they were all going, I'm sorry, it's a complete aside. In New York, I realized you can't, like, just, it's like you can't use the term partner. People give you funny looks. North Carolina, that was just the lingo. It's like financial partner, or like law firm partner, kind of like that mentality. I was talking to somebody from San Francisco that was randomly visiting North Carolina when I was there. And I was like, yeah, I'm going around. I'm seeing my ministry partners. And they're like, oh, so this is that type of church. I was like, no. Sorry. So investors, I was seeing my financial investors in North Carolina. And before I even asked, somebody was like, man, you know, you should really meet my friend in California. They'd love to hear about what you do. I was like, wow. It's like, all right. Told another guy, is like, this is what I'm doing. I feel like God's asking me to go to California and meet with some people. It's like, oh, really? Can I pay for your plane ticket? Like, okay. Ran into a random friend from grade school that I hadn't seen in years. Just legitimately, hey, like, hey, can we grab coffee? I'd love to just catch up with you. They asked me what I was up to. I told them. It wasn't like a meeting to ask them to do it. They were legitimately just wanting to know what I was up to. They're like, Kenny, I have been trying to give my tithe and this offering for the past, like, 2-3 months, but something always happens where I'm not able to, and I feel like it's because God wants me to give this to you. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I end up going. It's the day before I fly to California, and this is the first time I've gone without any family, and so I'm realizing, like, oh, I need to rent a car. So I'm like, okay, well, no problem. Again, people have given me the finances to be able to do it. Set up, and they're like, I'm sorry, we can't rent you a car. I was like, why? Well, you're not 25, and you don't have a credit card. I'm like, well, yeah, because I don't like buying things I don't have money for, so I've never had a credit card. They're like, yeah, sorry, we can't rent this to you. It's like, okay, well, so I fly out in a couple hours. Well, I guess this will handle. I asked my dad. I just told a couple people to pray, and I told them what was going on. I landed in L.A., and I turned my phone back on to an email that said, Mr. Sanborn, we have your car ready for you. You're ready to come pick it up. I'm like, well, God, you made a way. Seek the kingdom, and God will add everything you need. Even more, I met with probably a dozen people a week for a month, and everybody I met with was, man, we absolutely love what you're doing. We just can't be a part of it right now. We're tapped out. We're just financially tapped out. We can't do it. Or it's like we're just getting a house, or we just got married, all these things. And I'm like, all right, God, what the heck did you call me out here for? Little did I know that 3 years later, God was going to call me up to New York City, and that I was going to have to triple my income in order to come up here. And yet, and all of a sudden, everybody that wasn't able to give before, it was like, Kenny, they were reaching out to me, and they're saying, hey, we saw your newsletter that you're going to California, I mean, that you're going up to New York. We'd really love to join the team. Seek the kingdom, and God will add everything you need. And it really is. I love, Jesus talked about finances more than anything else. He did, and it's kind of funny because it was probably one of the things that we as a church preach on the least, like the universal church. not just us, like we just as a whole don't seem to talk about it too much. But I really feel the reason why, it's like picking back up in verse 32, Jesus just hammers in on this is why this is an issue, and this is why Jesus talks about it. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus talks so much about money because he knows that what we invest our heart in. And so that's why you are always investing in something, because whatever you put your finances to, whatever you put your worry, your thought towards, you're investing your heart in. Think of even the adage of time is money going through, where it's like, all right, well, financially I may not think that much or like put that much towards what I'm thinking my security. You think of the parable that Jesus told where this rich man worried very much about his security. It's like, and he invested in himself because his heart was in himself. Some of us, it's success or family, where we're investing all of our time, our worry into our family because we're concerned about them. In reality, is now our heart is there instead of in the kingdom of heaven. And that's a crazy thing of where even good things can become bad when we make them ultimate instead of allowing God to be the ultimate in our life. And again, where just everything else, honestly, is limited comparatively speaking to God and to the kingdom of God. It actually makes me think of the idea of manna in the wilderness. For those who don't know, when the Israelites they got out of slavery of Egypt and they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. And during that time of wandering before they entered the promised land, God fed them with manna. And manna just means, what is this? And it was like dew on the ground that kind of formulated into a type of oat or bread or something. And God said very clearly that the reason he gave them manna was to see what was in their heart. Because he gave them very clear instructions where it's like, gather just enough for the day. If you gather any more than that, it's going to rot. But then on the sixth day, gather twice as much as you normally do so that you have enough for the day that you have as well as the next day, which no manna will come. And God purely did this as a way of testing their heart. Will you listen to me? Will you obey the simple things that I'm asking you to do? Where he provided food for them purely to check their heart. It's like, would they listen to know what was in my heart? Like, just so that I can know what's in their heart of whether they listen or whether they obey. I think it's hit me so many times as I've read this passage just over and over and over again, where fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to give us the kingdom. He wants to give us far more than we could ask, than we can think, than we can imagine. Yeah. And we sit there and like, oh no, but I want to hold this. It's like, I want to hold this thing. So just as an example, Jackie, could you hold that, please? So that's my wallet. Just, yay, money. But Jesus is saying here, I want to give you the keys to the kingdom. I want to give you something more. But we're so caught up in holding on to this little thing that we have. Can't, like, even take it because he doesn't have room. And so we think of like, oh, but you're asking for my finances, God. No, he's actually asking for a lot more. He's asking for your heart. He's asking for way, way more. Thank you. So the idea of sometimes we actually just need to let go of what we have. It's honestly even the idea of repentance. We are going this way. Repentance just means a change of direction. Whereas like, all right, I am going this way. I am caught up in this thing. Repentance is saying, all right, I don't want to go in this direction anymore. I need to change direction. I need to move. I need to let go of something in order to receive something else. It's kind of, it's funny, this also idea of, has anybody like traveled internationally? All right, plenty of people. What is the first thing you do when you land? Passport control, the same. All right, so if you want to buy anything, what do you have to do? You have to exchange currency. Why? Yeah, the currency you have is no good in that country. And oftentimes we wonder, okay, well, if God wants to give us the kingdom, why don't we really like receive the benefits of it? Maybe because you haven't done any currency exchange. Jesus ends up going through and saying, this is why, give, sell what you have and give. Exchange what you will lose for something that will never fade. All of a sudden, exchanging a dollar for something way more makes more sense. I think, like, I lived in Korea for a year as I was a student, and that is a thousand won to $1. I loved looking at my bank account with all of those zeros. That was just, it just makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. It's like, oh, look at this. I have a million won in my bank account. It's all of $1,000. But oh, those zeros. The idea, but all of a sudden, when I come back to the States, that money is no longer good. And so we're really having to constantly exchange and set up and invest. Because the reality is God wants to give us way more than we can receive. That's also why he talks about finances so much, is because, man, God wants to give it to you, but is your heart going to be there? Or is your currency going to be for somewhere else? I taught minister with actually quite a few people that, hey, I have a hard time with this. I don't know if I really want, like, I don't feel like I want to spend time with the Lord. Like, I want to be time in my Bible, this and that. And it's just kind of like, that's the one thing you need to do, because the more that you invest in it, the more your heart is going to be there. It is incredibly simple. Doesn't necessarily mean it's easy, but it's incredibly simple. Of giving what I cannot keep to gain what I cannot lose. I think even with this comes back to Jesus. Where Jesus is saying it, but really he's talking about himself. Because first of all, you have to have the perspective of if God is willing to put on flesh, to walk among us, to live the life that we should have lived, and to die the death that we deserve. How much more would he not give you anything that you need? That's not even a prosperity gospel. It's just the idea that God gave up everything because he looked at you and he valued you. And he said, I want to be in a relationship with you. And I'm willing to give up everything for it. With that same thing, Jesus showed where his heart was, because he invested in us. He listened to the Father. He gave up. He said that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That he was very minimalistic, but yet God always provided for him. He always had food. He never lacked food unless God led him into a fast, but that's a different story. Even then, God provided for him. Angels, at the end of that, came and gave him food. God will provide. But Jesus shows that his heart is for us. His heart is for you. So as a way of, is he challenging, it's just what do we do with that? For some of you, you may need to like, all right, I actually need to give up my own kingdom and receive the kingdom of God. To give up, again, just giving up your own life, your own way of doing things. To say, God, I don't want this. I actually want what you want for me. That perspective needs to change. For some of us, he, I think, challenging us to maybe invest or check our investments. For some of us, it's a financial thing. It's just, where is my money going? Am I keeping it because I'm actually trying to provide for myself, or I'm trying to invest in my own security, or invest in fashion, in food, in whatever, you know, your hook is? Or is it actually maybe your time, a matter of what are you investing your time in? Going through it, it's like, all right, God, I need to actually check maybe how much I watch Netflix. How much I'm on YouTube or Netflix. That's my crux I need to watch. Like, being very open. Because I don't want my heart to be in something made up. I want my heart to be in something very real. Because God wants to give me more. He wants to give us more. So I'm just going to pray for us as Pastor Nathan comes up for communion. God, thank you that you want to give us the kingdom, God. And we come to you humbly, God, just laying down our life for you. I ask that you would show in our own hearts where we need. Honestly, check where we're investing. If there's some currency exchange that we need to do of where we've been more invested in the kingdoms of this world or in our own lives and our own way of doing things, where we may need to just invest in the kingdom a little bit more with our time, with our finances. God, I ask that you would speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus and change us.